a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Awesome Town, Ohio, you are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Massive Report, live from Awesome Town at Hendock's Pub. My name is Matt Goschert. I'm joined tonight by Sam Fahmy, who hits buttons and yells at me for not plugging my microphone in. Morgan Hughes, Alex Stanek, Justin Bell is here. Greg Benson is here. I don't know where Susie went. I think Susie's going to come on at some point and say hello to everybody. But I think we lost her in the couch cushions. Something along those. I don't know what happened. Justin is very upset about the microphone that he has.
I just can't see anything.
Yeah. You can make it lower, and that might help.
You can't.
No, you can't.
No.
Oh.
Nope.
You should say that Morgan is the one who set that mic.
Yeah, Morgan set the microphone up, so you should blame him. Justin, gentlemen.
Given the scenery in front of you, Justin, do you really want to see us?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. He can't see. Yeah, he doesn't know what the scenery is.
Welcome to the show. The show is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. Thank you very much to those guys. And holy crap, guys. I mean, not holy crap, because we kind of knew it was going to happen, but I'm darn happy right now. Morgan, right to you. Go.
Matt, I've had to change my pants 4 times today. It's been a delightful Monday. Back to you.
The crew beat the Seattle Sounders by a score of 3-1, because I still don't acknowledge that that second goal happened. Greg... Your thoughts.
I was about to correct you.
No. I don't acknowledge the second goal happened.
I'm very, very happy to be wrong, because I think I was the only member of the panel who predicted a crew loss.
Yeah.
And I love being wrong in this instance.
Yeah.
And I'm sure somebody's going to quote me out of context.
That's why you're fired. No, it's fine. Take your stuff and go. No.
Everything is awesome in Awesome Town.
Your thoughts on the match, though, Greg?
No, I... You know, to be perfectly honest... Seattle played very well, and the crew played better, and that's all it boils down to. This was a night and day difference to what we saw last week against DC. You know, not just the scoreline, not just the fact that they weren't behind in this match, but the fact that they played with so much more energy, so much more attack in them, and despite being outpossessed. They didn't get outshot. They took the fight right to them, and they played Seattle the way you're supposed to play a top of the table team, and completely just outworked them. It was fun to watch.
Justin, your thoughts?
It was a great game. They played completely the opposite of what they played, how they played in DC.
Yeah,
and I think that's that was by design, right? I mean, we're still kind of wondering what the identity of the crew are.
Yeah.
We're not going to know until next week, probably, if we can continue this, because so far it's been up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Last week we were saying how concerned we were with the fact that they weren't getting shots on goal. And they, boy on earth, they completely changed.
I wish we could have gotten half of those shots, not necessarily shots on goal, but just shots. In last week's DC game.
It was remarkable.
Something may have fallen in.
It was remarkable. I think Seattle allowed a lot more space to the crew than DC did.
Yeah.
And that kind of is shocking to me. I don't know why they did that. I don't know if that was just a failure of execution or if that was by design. But the crew punished them for that. And, you know, the game ended up, like, you know, you said 3-2 or, you know, It really, honestly, wasn't that close.
No.
And, you know, when we talk about Seattle outpossessing the crew, I think a lot of that is based on the fact that the crew outshot Seattle. I mean, when you shoot the ball, you're basically giving up possession. Mm-hmm. I'll take that every day of the week. That's not something to
24 shots versus 11 as far as on target, 13 versus 6.
Right. And the shots were from all around. They weren't just from, you know, crosses serving into the box. I mean, they were, you know, there was a shot that Tony Chani had earlier in the game where I was like, boy, why not do that last week? You know, I like that about his game. He's willing to take
the important
shots.
Part is they were on target, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He made him make a save. Made Stephen Fry make a save.
But for Stephen Fry, it would have been a much greater scoreline because Fry did have a great game. I
he
mean,
did.
Honestly.
He really did.
Kept it interesting.
Yeah. Alex.
Well, Fry had a great game, but a lot of our players had great games, too. I thought Hector Jimenez was fantastic. I thought Emmanuel Pogatetz was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Kamara and Higuain were both really on top of things. The whole team put in a great performance, and not just a great performance overall, but they really opened the game up early on and came out swinging. The first 10 minutes, Seattle looked terrified. They were just, it was a constant barrage of shots. They were pinned back in their own box for a lot of that.
Yeah.
And we set that tone early, and we kept that tone throughout the game. I do think it was a lot different than what we saw in the previous game in D.C., but I think a lot of that might have to do with the fact that Seattle came out to play. They came out and they really set up in an attacking style, and D.C. kind of sat back and tried to hit us on the counter. I think we're still going to have more trouble against teams that play that way, but if a team comes to Crew Stadium or Mapfre Stadium and tries to attack us and play, you know, their normal style, they're in trouble.
Morgan. That was... I feel like I'm out of my body. That was a crazy week, man.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing. Shockingly, I can't speak to a lot of, you know, soccer theory about, oh, we did this, and then they capitalized on point guard did this and designated hitter. I don't know much about that, Matt. But... you know, that was a crazy week. We were at the Crew Brew event on Thursday, and I was sitting with Todd Fichtenberg and Nate Beckman and Frankie, and the four of us were kind of like talking about Seattle and our, I don't even care. I'll call it a rivalry, but if you're offended by it, I don't care. You know, mm-hmm. The rivalry with Seattle and I asked Frankie, like, dude, do you think that the current players have an idea of how much we hate Seattle? Do you think they know that this is like a big deal to us? And he said, sometimes you just gotta go, man. And I was like, okay, let me rephrase that. But no, he said, not really. And then we talked to Ethan Finley and. He kind of, I said, I know that you probably don't know the details and why we hate Seattle or if we hate Seattle, but this is a huge deal to us as fans. And if you need to go studs up, man, we're still going to love you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do that. You just got to don't pace yourself. Right, Justin?
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Bro.
Don't do that, bro.
It was kind of like a bit, man, I was terrified for this game. This is the most nervous I've been for a game since 2010, like, without question.
Do you think it was awesome? I mean, we look at the last few matches against Seattle, and obviously we don't have Siggy's protege, Robert Orzeja, behind the bench. Do you think that possibly Greg Berhalter has cracked the code?
Well, it's good to see us play like this against them.
Yeah.
The Emilio Renteria game in Seattle, it just, you know, you kind of felt like they were dominating possession and we were just going to have to get lucky on a counter strike. We were up a man for a half in Seattle last year, and it still took a meat hook and extra time. This game, it was just joy. It was joyous to watch us dominate. To watch the Crew dominate Seattle.
The problem with like the Robert Orzeja Crew versus Siggy's Sounders is that they started the game a goal down every single time. It was assumed that we weren't going to compete with them. That was an assumption that if we won the game is because we got lucky, we got a few breaks. And
that's true.
There's no better example of that than the U.S. Open Cup. which is insane. And like I said last week, that was the moment when I think that those players on that team, the greatest crew team in history, had looked at what they were being given, the opportunity they were being given by their coaching staff and by the strategy, by the direction that they were given, and they checked out.
Yep.
I think, and that was apparent. I mean, to go into a game like that expecting to try to play for a draw and go to extra time and then maybe penalty kicks and maybe win the cup. Mm-hmm. Who does that?
Yeah.
You know who does that? Losers.
The same guy and that sits somebody in Salt Lake.
Yeah, those exactly. Those are not losers on that team. Those are guys who recognize what the opportunity that they had and they wanted to go grab it and they didn't feel like they were being given that chance. I think Greg Berhalter, this new crew, has a different attitude. And that was apparent last year. Everything should have been going against the crew against Seattle, in Seattle, and they said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And it's been a big, big change.
The encouraging thing for me is that not just the way that they played Seattle on Saturday versus the way that other crew teams have played Seattle in the past. It's the way that they played Seattle versus the way that they played other teams this year. We've talked in past weeks on the show about, you know, yeah, they blew Philadelphia and Orlando off the pitch and they beat Toronto on opening day. We've seen them, you know, beat up on the bottom feeders. How would they do when to be fair, a championship-caliber team like Seattle comes to town?
Yeah, Seattle is a quality team.
They are a damn good team. And they played like one for much of that game. But, yeah, we've finally seen what they're capable of.
I think a lot of this also comes down to, I mean, the system that Berhalter plays, we match up best against teams that come here thinking that they're going to win and thinking that they're going to dominate possession. And when you look back to last year against Los Angeles Galaxy, that was one of our best performances. LA Galaxy came into Crew Stadium thinking, we can beat these guys. We can beat these guys badly. We're going to put a bunch of attacking players out there. We're going to dominate possession, and we're going to score a bunch of goals. It didn't work for them. The way that we play, if you leave space for us, we're going to exploit it because we have a multitude of weapons at our disposal and on the pitch. It can be our striker. It can be our attacking mids. It can be our wingers. Our defensive mids can get forward and score goals. Our wing backs can get forward and be dangerous. I think what happened was Ziggy came into this game thinking that they were going to walk all over us. He played Papa, he played Martins, he played Dempsey, and they were all, you know, really attacking, not so much active on defense. And when you play that way against us, there is going to be room to exploit, and we took advantage of that from the first minute to the last. And I don't think they ever had a chance. They set up all wrong for this game.
Well, my question going into that is, you were talking about options and things like that. How sick was Kamara's 58th minute goal?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
And the better part of that, one of the best parts of that, obviously his technique was incredible, but
the build-up.
The build-up was amazing.
It was awesome.
Like, and you know, Alex, you mentioned Hector Jimenez. He was not one of the guys who was put up as man of the match candidate, but he should have been.
Yeah.
Because he is a player who has not been starting at that position, at right back, and yet he gets the opportunity against probably the toughest opponent that we have, and this is why I like this guy. He will play any position that Berhalter asks him to. He does so as a professional soccer player, and I keep saying that term over and over again this year, professional soccer player. And he comes out, and that the ball is crossed, and it's free in his side, and the right back of the Columbus Crew had made a run to get that ball and put it back in like that, like on a one touch, basically get it back in, and that was Hector Jimenez, making a run that so many other players would never make to get to in the position to send the ball back in, and Kamara capitalizes on it. Tremendous soccer.
Just for we talked very briefly about there was Pogatetz, Higuain, and Kai Kamara got named to the starting 11 for the team of the week.
Right.
Greg Berhalter got named coach of the week. Jimenez was named actually as one of the bench players the MLS team of the week
And I'm surprised.
Bench of the week. I don't know, but
I'm surprised he didn't make the full squad for that, because I thought he was, you know, as good as It was one of the better performances I've seen from a player this season. I mean, he was, really
was a hell of a
just
player.
Just like hell, on top of things job. All the time.
Defensively too, he was tremendous.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is
I think that if MLS names more than four players or three players and a coach to their starting 11 as in team of the week, that the MLS headquarters will explode. I think
possibly.
That they will all just the concentrated, I don't know what's going on, will just yeah. just
another,
make them.
Another thing to point out, the difference between the DC game and this one. In the DC game, both of our wing backs, or the wing play in general, was very poor.
Yeah.
Not just Jimenez, but Waylon Francis had a fantastic game on Saturday night as well.
Yeah. That's how DC defends, though. You know?
Yeah, well,
they're going to rely
yeah.
on those counterattacks, and that's what they needed.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, I feel like DC set out, they set up their team in a different way, and I think we're still going to struggle a little bit playing this style. I think Berhalter, for the most part, they have a system, and they play that system game in, game out, because for the most part it works. Mm-hmm. Against teams that sit really deep in counterattack, we struggle a little bit in the system against that. Mm-hmm. But if teams keep coming here trying to, you know, play their normal style,
shh, don't tell everyone.
We're gonna destroy them.
Well, but according to Seattle, we have no listeners anyway, so I don't think
yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah.
But going back to the talk about Jimenez, I mean, he's our backup. For the most part, I mean, I think Grana's
at
kind
every
of,
position.
Kind of this, you know, he's kind of locked that spot
awesome.
Down.
That's why I love that.
And,
guy.
Yeah. And we have Waylon Francis at left back, who's kind of locked that spot down. He's a rotation player, and yet he is dominant against some of the better teams in this league. The depth on this squad, as the season goes on, I can't stress this enough. It is going to pay off so much, because as other teams have injuries and have to start filling in with their, you know, rotation players, our rotation players are going to be so much better. And we have Cedric coming. So this team is not even at its peak yet. We are going to get more deep than we are right now. And we're already
crew hasn't
way,
taken its final form.
Way better than these other teams in terms of like the overall squad.
I love after reading the articles, you know, yesterday and today, a lot of questions were asked of the players. Miram and Kai jumped to mind. Somebody asked them, you know, was this a statement win? I think us as crew fans, we think every win is a statement win, you know. Like that was a statement win against Orlando, a statement win against Toronto. But the guys are kind of there at the point where they're like, no, this
it's
is just
a
us.
Win. Yeah,
yeah,
it's just kind of what we do.
Like, we expect this pretty much every week.
Yeah, it's you mentioned Justin Miram. I mean,
man of the match for me.
Really?
Without question,
he had to have been up there because like there were times where he just made some. He made some players just look silly.
He did little things so freaking well.
Right. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching this, I'm thinking, this is the kind of player that Siggy Schmidt wants. He wants him on Seattle.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me.
The first
if
goal
at some point in time in the future that they make a play for somebody like for Justin Merrim.
The first goal, you know, great cross, Kai just freight trained Chad Marshall. That you know,
incredible
clinical finishing, but. Justin Miram held up that ball and took on and made two guys come to him to commit to playing him defensively, and then he kind of side heeled it off for the cross. That's how that goal happened.
Yeah, he and Finley both played. They're just tremendous weapons. Finley, this is a funny thing too. Like Ethan Finley could have had a hat trick in this game.
He could have. Yeah.
He ended up with no goals, but he very easily could have had a hat trick just by the way that he plays. Plays this game.
I was upset Kai Kamara didn't. We talked about this off the air just for a second because I had a hat on, and it was one. And I would have thrown it on the field, and I don't care. I don't care if I would have gotten a ban. Dan Lally, you can tell me after the show whether or not I would have. But
Steinderson should have had a goal that Fry made an incredible save.
Fry had no, and I don't want to take anything away from Fry because he did have.
You should take things away from him because he's a
Stefan.
Yeah, but he did have some very good saves.
Yeah,
That's a true story.
Another good, I think this was interesting too. The substitution that Berhalter made, where he took out Saeed and put in Wall.
Yeah.
At the time, I think we were like, well, okay, what's happening now? Mm-hmm. And then, it was a very intelligent substitution. I mean, he moved. Michael
anybody
Parker.
Else would have put Kevon George in there.
Yeah, I think
who's made two national
but
teams.
It would have been like a like for like sub, but what it was
Trinidad
know,
and
Wall
Tobago.
Moving in for Parkhurst and Parkhurst moving up to play defensive mid. And so in effect what the crew were doing there was playing three center backs and just kind of But Parkhurst was able to sort of mark this, the two guys who he needed to take care of. Because at that point in the game, the only thing that could have happened that would have made, would have turned that win into a draw would have been if Dempsey or Martins would have sort of gotten away from the defensive, from the Crew defense.
And at that point, offsides was allowed. So
yeah, which is a,
even
it's
more
a FIFA rule.
Yep.
For certain teams, after the 64th minute, you can be offside.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about that? Are we going to
talk about that? Segment two?
Okay.
We're gonna have a long conversation about that segment two, and actually, I think we should probably take a break here real quick, unless anybody has any final comments on anything but the second goal.
Matt, I think it's time you put this segment to bed.
I have one more thing.
Put you to
Damn
bed,
you.
Morgan. And by put you to bed, I mean put you to sleep.
I'd like that.
Go ahead.
Well, I think, especially in the after this win, I don't think we're still getting the respect we deserve from around the league, and I really hope that continues for as long as possible.
Oh, I don't care.
Because as long as teams keep thinking that we are a mid-level talent side.
Mid to low-level talent.
They're going to keep coming in here, thinking that they can put six past Clark, and they're going to put one past him, and we're going to put four past their keeper, and we're going to keep rolling over these teams.
Well, Columbus is tied for most goals and most assists by a single player, and that's huge, and second place in total goals scored.
One thing that's going to have to happen before that changes is that we're going to have to play consistently for a couple weeks in a row.
True story.
And going to San Jose, playing a 10:30 game on a Saturday night on the West Coast.
Yeah.
We're traditionally not very good at that.
Then coming back and playing a Friday instead of a Saturday.
Right. So, I mean, the Crew played pretty well again in Vancouver earlier this year. And so I think this is an opportunity for the Crew to show we can play consistently. And at that point, maybe we do start to get some notoriety like that.
I think we're jumping ahead of segments, but I have a feeling that San Jose are going to try to get the win at home, and I think we'll deal with them.
That's called a tease.
Oh.
Hey. Can't wait to tune in to segment three, Alex. Back to you, Matt.
Dealt with.
Yeah.
They will.
Prepare All right, to we're going to come back in a few minutes. This is the Massive Report. Stick around.
Kids, this is your good pal Morgan Hughes here to give you the 411 on a hip little spot where all the cool cats are called Land Grant Brewing Company. Listen, we all know what kind of embarrassment sets in after a week of continuously running your mouth on the internet like a goddamn coward, spending countless hours making absurd predictions and vague threats that in no way, shape, or form even come close to coming true. Why, it's enough to make you want to put down your megaphone and professional microphone system and take a long nap in a pool of tears, snot, and failure, right on your own capo stand. Well, come on now, let's not make any rash decisions, Mr. Wheeler, because I got some great news for you and all your conference call companions. Land Grant Brewing Company has a cure for what ails you. That's right. They're medium-sized glass containers which are filled to the brim with delicious, intoxicating alcohol will leave you feeling focused, alert, and ready to slink away from the capital city with your tail so far between your legs that you'll be the envy of all the soccer-loving Lois Einhorns in that putrid, awful, dystopian hellhole known as Plascadia. Hooray! So grab a rave green towel, bitches, because at Land Grant Brewing Company in Columbus, Ohio, it's laid out like that. After you've snagged a delicious growler to go, feel free to get your punk ass out of the greatest city the world has ever seen post-haste. And when the wheels touch down back in the Emerald Shitty, make your way back to your parents' basement and give your crusty ass mama a kiss on the cheek from all your mortal enemies here at the Massive Report Podcast.
Aces.
Segment 2 of the Massive Reports, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing, live at Hen Docks. Thank you so much for continuing to join us. According to Sounder at Heart, all three of you. I want to talk a little bit before we go into the next segment and talk about... Well, I mean, we're in the next...
Yeah, I was going to say...
Shut up, Morgan.
Is, okay.
Shut up,
all
Morgan.
Right,
before we go into the next topic... We did want to talk a little bit about that second Seattle goal.
But this
and
is
Alex,
the next topic.
You're looking like you're chomping at the bit, so I'm going to have you go ahead and start this.
Well, I was just going to say that this is another segment.
That's a true story.
I was just going to echo what Morgan said.
Yeah, it is. It is. I misspoke.
Can we re-record the beginning of this segment, Sam? Because Matt is just awful right now.
No, let's just keep it. Let's just keep
going.
Yeah,
let's keep it.
We'll do it live.
Everybody knows.
We'll do it live as a warning from history.
Yeah.
I came here thinking that it was actually onside. First look actually seemed like Dempsey was behind the ball when Martins played it, but I
what
just watched the replay.
What were you watching? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Apparently I wasn't paying that close of attention. Anyway, I checked the replay on YouTube in between segments, and yeah, it looks like Dempsey was in front of Martins when he took the shot, so it should not have counted. Back to you, Matt.
Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's officials are human. The officials are fallible. And it's one of those things where it's a split-second decision. You make it one way or the other. Sometimes that sort of stuff can be a coin flip.
I mean, think about where Clint Dempsey lives. Mm-hmm. At some point in his life, he has to have, like, moments of joy. And I'm glad that we were able to provide that to him here in Columbus, Ohio. Matt, back to you.
I also think it says something that, you know, we had a 50-50 call, for lack of a better term. Could have gone either way. Go against us that resulted in a goal. And yet, we still won.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't come down to, we beat them so thoroughly that we could have, you know, the average, you know, a call or two go against us. And it was not the end of the world.
Well, no,
we are, you know, really steamrolling these teams. So
it was a solid match on the part of the crew. It really, really was on the part of crew SC. I'm sorry. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, that's exactly what happened. We had a bum call go against us. It happens. It's going to continue to happen. We're going to have another handful of these. You know, hopefully not as many that count as goals, but we're going to have a handful of those happen during the course of the season.
It was a terrible call.
Yeah,
it was one of the worst non-offside calls I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, it. You know, we can say like that these things are, you know, these things are part of soccer. You know, this is part of MLS.
Yeah.
You know, look. The argument that Dempsey was in an offside position, he was a passively offside, you hear that a lot, you know, but you never see that.
Yeah.
Ever. You never see that go ways. It's always the AR in MLS who calls offside when it's not that cut and dry. Right?
Did you see the? I mean, obviously, I mean, you did the players, our players, right after their replay.
Right.
Oh, my God. Were pissed. They were super pissed.
To say that, like, you know, because Dempsey didn't touch the ball, he was not involved in the play. Well, that's
irrelevant.
Okay, maybe by the letter of the law, that might, in a shade of meaning, be possibly somewhat accurate. But you can't say that.
Yeah.
You just. Clint Dempsey is involved in that play.
Right.
He is involved in that play. The proof of that is the fact that he played the rebound. He's involved in that play. He's offside. You make that call immediately.
Yeah.
And when they say that, look, the AR was a step behind, as though that's some sort of excuse, it's not an excuse. It's this is what the... Where MLS referees fail is not so much... I know that it's hard to be in the middle of the pitch and be able to make calls when the game is happening all around you. You're going to miss...
Not that call.
The ARs in this league are terrible. And especially when it comes to their main goal or their main task, which is calling offside.
Yeah.
And not only... People like Simon Borg, for instance, talked today about how the call was missed, right?
Yeah.
In one aspect. I think it was missed in two aspects. And that's why I feel that call was one of the worst ones I've seen. Also, the result of the play being a goal, changing the game, in effect, mm-hmm. possibly upsetting an outcome, changing the course of the season. That's how important
and
that
history.
Call. History.
Yeah.
Human history.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how important that call is. And you've got to be in position to make it. That is your job, to be in position to make it. And that's why it's
the argument
call.
That it's a tough call to make is like... It's to me, it's completely irrelevant. Of course, all calls are hard to make. That's why you're a professional referee.
Right.
It's
right.
hard for my 5-year-old cousin to make that call because he is dumb.
And it wasn't even really that close.
And stupid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the
I don't even know if he exists, Justin.
Maybe.
Do I have a 5-year-old cousin?
Well, if you do, then he's dumb.
The
thing is, yeah.
Dumb, but somebody can look into that and get back to me.
Bit inbred, but you know, other than that, whatever.
Yeah.
It might be a hard... Sorry, go on.
No, you're fine.
No, it might be a hard call to make, but yeah, it's like everybody seems to be in agreement with, yeah, that's your job. That's what you do. My job gets difficult sometimes. Anybody at this table can say what they do has its moments of difficulty. Yeah, that's why you're paid to do what you do. I'm with Matt, though, on the, you know... MLS refereeing and MLS officiating in general, you've got what you've got right now. You know, there's no training camp to produce super refs for the league in time for next week's games that's going to fix everything.
Somebody should tell the guys at the Mainland blog about that, because I think they think that there is one of those camps.
The Mainland? That's their name?
That was Main and Tail.
Yeah, that's what I... Yeah.
Greg sings Main and Tail.
Main and
Tail. No.
Dot my Shopify.com.
But just to put a period on what I was saying, that you are going to get, as Matt alluded to, you are going to get these calls go against you over the course of the season. And what we saw on Saturday night was the crew played well enough that this didn't change the result of the game. We're not sitting here talking about how we blew a lead and had to settle for a point on a bogus goal. Still came away with 3 points. They played well enough that in the end... We're able to talk about this like, yeah, this could have gone our way and it would have been nicer, but at the end of the day, the result's the same.
I don't mean to say, and if that's how it came off beforehand, I don't mean to say it's acceptable.
No.
Which are two completely different things.
No, not what I was implying.
I thought you meant that.
Yeah, well, screw you, Morgan.
Yeah.
Two completely different things. And you look at, I agree that, you know, especially with what Justin was saying, he was involved in the play because he continued to run. And if you continue to attempt to make a play on the ball, you are involved in the play.
Absolutely.
I actually talked to Clint Dempsey after the game. He admitted to being involved in the play.
Yeah. So. Well, that's why he threw his shoe at the ball.
After he scored, actually, he gave a look to
you.
Nordeca.
Yeah.
And you might say that, I don't know if anyone captured that on film.
I did.
But he completely... knew that he was offside.
He was holding up a sign that said it. He was like,
it's the picture. Did I do that?
Yeah. It's the picture on the goal on YouTube. It's like the title image
so
for the goal.
He said, did I do that? Jesus.
But one of the things, like, on the other side
we have to go
field,
kiss somewhere or something.
Yeah, that's
how that works. On the other side of the field, the AR completely got an offside call correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked that they got that correct. It was the one that where Martins deflected a shot from distance. And, you know, if Martins hadn't deflected that, then they would have counted that goal, even though those two guys were in offside positions because they weren't making a pass, right?
Yeah.
So that's passive offsides, right? That is what I see as the – that's when they say passive offside, that's what they're talking about, right? Or you're completely removed from the play. You're not, you know, literally in a position to receive a pass.
Yep.
That does not make you passively offside. So I don't know. Maybe some clarification of the rule needs to be made.
Clint
you know,
Dempsey's an awful man.
Yeah, except when he plays for the U.S., and then he's okay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Either way.
He's a jerk, but he's our jerk.
Either way, I think it's awesome that we can talk about this as a team that's still got 3 points.
No. I'm happy that we can talk about this in a happy mood and not in a, oh, God, that just happened mood.
Breaking news, Alex is happy about things.
Well, after the match, I went up to...
It certainly isn't about eating meat.
Now we throw it to the Sunshine Brigade.
Yeah.
That's not even a word.
After the match, I bumped into Justin in the parking lot, and I said to him that the ref tried to screw us, and we still won. And that's kind of how I still feel. Like if we can keep playing like this, man.
I don't know if the ref tried to screw us.
I think he did a poor job. Yeah, I think he inadvertently screwed us by being bad at his job,
which is the
normal. MLS referees are not good enough. It's something that has been said over and over again by every fan base in this league. They need to get better. They are slowly getting better, but it is like so much slower than the quality of the players is improving.
You know what I'm going to say right here is that, alluding back to our conversation last week, is that we should have more women ARs because I know my girlfriend and I know her attention to detail. I'm just saying.
She will remember something that you said 17 weeks ago.
Exactly. She'll be able to figure out if somebody's in a goddamn offside position.
Pretty sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Hashtag man problems. Am I right, guys?
I don't think that the... I don't think it was intentional.
No, I don't.
Like you're saying. Yeah. I do think, though, that when you're in a position, in an incorrect position, or you're not doing your job, I think that the benefit of the doubt often goes to certain players, certain teams. Mm-hmm. I think that is... That just happens. Like, you see it with Robbie Keane, you see it with LA Galaxy a lot, you see it with Landon Donovan all of the time.
Yeah.
And now you see it with someone like Clint Dempsey and Obafemi Martins because there is a drumbeat to say, like, how great these guys
are. Right,
we
expect these guys to be able to beat an offside trap because that's just how good they are compared to the rest of the league. Right.
But we're so good that we can nullify that bias and still come away with the 3 points. I don't know. I'm not too bothered by it.
I don't think the crew necessarily are playing with sandbags around their legs. I don't think that there's a conspiracy from the officiating, from pro referees, to negatively officiate against the crew.
Yeah.
I do think in this match that a referee missed, or excuse me, an assistant referee missed an important call.
They made a big mistake, yeah.
They did, yes.
There was another really good play in this game, too, that I thought could have gone either way. But I think it's more. It's something that's going to carry on more. Is Pogatetz's yellow card?
Mm-hmm.
He that was a real interesting play. It was early in the first half, middle of the first half. There was a 50-50 ball, and Obafemi Martins is a very short man.
The 44th minute.
Sort of put himself in a position to head the ball, and Pogatetz went over top of him and knocked him down to actually, you know, head the ball. And Pogatetz's argument was like, look, I'm taller. Right?
Yeah.
And he was right? The ball is there. He got it.
I think I would be the man who has less cannonball shot into his stomach. That's what he said.
Yeah, just like that. You could read his lips. But the way that it was done, I loved it. And I was thinking, I wish he would have hit him harder, because if you're going to get a yellow card, then hit that.
Well, he did hit him
out, yeah.
Yeah, and he hit him pretty hard. I think he could have hit him harder.
Well, I think he did it again in the second half. He did basically the same thing. And again, Obafemi Martins kind of got up and was like gesturing to the referee that he threw his elbow. And Pogatetz just kind of like looked at him like, hey, man, what do you expect?
Yeah.
And just walked away. And I was...
I'm sorry you're the president of the hair club for short people.
But if you're going to get a yellow card, then you might as well get it, you know, get your money's worth.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And so that's kind of what I think.
Maybe go full Galifo.
Yeah, maybe he's learning to go full Galifo.
I don't go full Galifo.
I don't think that's a yellow card.
Go partial Galifo.
I don't think that's a yellow card play. I think it's a free kick at best.
It's not. Right. No.
I don't think it's a free kick to Seattle at best.
Yeah, if you're that much taller than somebody else and you happen to get your head on the ball before they do and then you run into them because they're short, that's not a yellow.
But Obafemi Martins has won so many goals of the week, Matt.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to get a yellow. That's what I'm. Yeah, that's exactly
yeah.
what I'm
True
saying.
True story.
Right? It's like
yeah.
he's going to get the benefit of the doubt in that. He's going right. to get.
Did you see the goal of the week that he won last week?
No.
It was just the most average finish.
Was it a PK?
It was almost a PK.
Goal of the week, yay!
I think.
And Stephen Fry. I'm sorry, Stephen Fry won save of the week as well. It's so weird how that happened.
Was it a clearance from? Yeah. Was it a clearance from the other goalkeeper?
The opening touch of the match.
Yeah, yeah. No, it seems about legit.
I wonder if Pogatetz was doing that stuff on purpose, which is kind of the impression I got from a couple of the times, especially on set pieces. I think it was on a corner kick that he elbowed him again, and
he's crazy.
And I think Pogatetz, he did not want Martins did not want anything to do with Pogatetz after that second one, and kind of. I really like this about Pogatetz. I think he knows like how far. I think I've said this before. He knows how far he can push things without getting in big trouble.
I watched him walk into the Jersey event, which was freezing cold, and there was sleet and hail, and he was in like the deepest V-neck T-shirt.
Yeah, T-shirt.
They had to make it specifically. They're like, we can't go any deeper with the V-neck. And he's like, you didn't go deeper. they shoot cannonballs with my V-neck.
I
do have two more things I want to talk about in this segment before we put this to bed. First of all, the Crew, one of only two teams from the Eastern Conference to win this weekend, Red Bull being the other one. What is that?
Because they were playing another Eastern Conference.
Well, because they were playing another Eastern Conference. Well, no, there was. Yeah, good point. No, yeah. Well, I'm a dumbass. No,
We'll fix that. Red Bull, we're not going to
because that's totally fine. But no, Salt Lake beat Chicago 2-1. Portland beats Montreal 2-1. DC SKC tie 1-1. Vancouver beats Philadelphia 3-0.
Shock.
That is just a tire fire in
Dallas,
Chester right
it
now.
Doesn't matter, but Dallas beats the Galaxy 2-1. Houston beats Toronto 2-1. Yeah. In their home opener in the new, quote-unquote, largest soccer stadium in North America.
I love watching Toronto FC fans leave early.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a blog dedicated to it.
Oh God!
It's like clips of like their fans leaving in the 57th minute.
Also, in showing up in the 20th.
Yeah,
that should be the other thing. Apparently, the GO trains are poorly timed.
It was so bad that the fans who were arriving late left before they even arrived.
Oh yeah.
Wow!
That's how bad it was.
Yeah, they literally just showed up at Exhibition Park.
I did see that. You're right.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Got crapped on by seagulls and then left. That was what happened.
Somebody got off their couch to go to the game and just fell on the ground.
So literally the only two Eastern Conference teams that won this week were Red Bull and the Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, Matt. I looked at the internet.
Can we talk about how bad NYCFC suck and how Mixed Disc Root is terrible, too? Can we talk about that?
Well, Justin may stab you in the neck.
The Red Bulls NYCFC game, for those of you...
He's worse than Saeed. Saeed is a better player and earns less money.
But Saeed plays for the Crew. Yeah, SC is
he's better.
As I was saying,
he's a better team.
The Red Bulls NYCFC game was actually, for those of you who didn't watch it, was actually better than it had any business being.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, so.
Yeah.
Can I break it down?
My curiosity got the best of me, and I watched it and was very glad I did.
We're going to do this. Alex, break it down!
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Can we get some break it down music, Sam? No?
Just play the DX theme. It's fine.
New York Red Bulls went up 1-0 early, and then they had some young kid whose name is escaping me got a second yellow and got sent off. And Red Bulls continued to dominate despite being at 10 men.
Yeah.
Scored a second goal at 10 men. And New York City got one back, but they were outplayed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is fantastic, Sam. Thank you. NYCFC outplayed by 10 men Red Bulls. pathetic, terrible.
Yep.
Man City lights suck.
I did enjoy the Red Bull Tifo that they had.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was very well done.
Dopey.
20 years and, in a stadium too
20
late.
Years, yeah.
And it's amazing that those 1,500 New York City fans all at once found out that there's a PATH train to Red Bull Arena after not being able to locate one for all those years. Unbelievable.
This has been Breaking It Down with Alex Stanek, brought to you by Eternal Optimism.
20 years late and a subway ticket short, apparently.
The PATH train. It's not too late.
It's not
New York
the
City
subway.
Fans.
It's the PATH.
Right,
yeah,
my
it's
bad.
The PATH.
I'm sorry.
It's not too late for them, too. They can still switch back to the team that they supported before they thought the New York City FC logo was super cool.
I live in Columbus. I have no idea what a train
you
is.
You don't know that, though, Alex. They may have Hearts of Oak.
I literally saw on Twitter somebody had posted an autographed New York Red Bulls jersey that they had cut the Red Bulls crest off of and sewn a New York City crest on top of it.
They are horrible people.
I hate them way more than I hate Seattle.
I had a club,
so
and it
much.
Was a joke. Soon found out we were Hearts of Oak.
And can we talk about how funny it's going to be when they end up
Did
having
that seriously happen though?
Yes, I'll pull up the picture in between segments. It is That's, terrible.
I haven't seen
oh,
that.
Oh God!
I've,
go ahead, Alex. Wow. What were you going to say? Wow.
It's going to be so funny when this 3-year deal with Yankee Stadium ends, and then they end up having to play outside.
Oh
of New
no!
York City
Yankee
as well.
Stadium is reassessing their commitment after this season.
After this yes. season, yeah,
they're
no, they're going to literally play like outside of you know where the flying saucer crashed into in Men in Black, where the World's Fair was at one point. World's Fair was at one point. They're literally just going to play in that
them,
park.
I want to see them do a ground share with
no,
New York Red
they're
Bulls.
They're going
so bad.
To be playing at Red Bull Arena.
Oh, of course
that's
they are.
It's going to be so funny if that happens that they live
all
that
the Jets
time,
play.
And then they oh still
have to take
off.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can't wait.
They're also going to be in Jersey in, like...
It would be so funny.
It'll be a really, months. Like, convenient nor on tour. Like, we just stay.
Yeah.
In the stadium for the next game.
And if you guys think that Seattle Sounders fans are delusional, like, you have not seen anything. Like, I get into
now.
It with
no.
these guys, and they're like, that picture is photoshopped. Our banner wasn't upside down. No, the FO didn't design those. That's a fake picture. No, nobody got banned from Yankee Stadium for being racist or for being neo-Nazis. That didn't happen either.
Except
that's,
for that
that's
group
New
is
York
still
Cosmos.
On Facebook.
I know. Well, they said that that was New York Cosmos fans faking it. These people are crazy. They are insane.
Yeah, the racist
them.
Group is still on Facebook.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people pretend to be Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, that's
it's really common.
Is that seriously said? Like, nope, it was just actually a group of people
like
pretending
to be
Nazis.
It's like the new hipster thing.
Nazis?
We're just going to pretend to be Nazis. That sounds like a great idea. All right. That's pretty much all we had for this segment. So we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back, and then Greg's going to yell at people. It's going to be fantastic. It's the Massive Report, and it's coming back.
I know it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. And I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. See a big store and I'm borrowed. Yeah. So I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. Yeah. That's why I'm easy, so easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. Sing it for me, brother.
Why in the world would anybody want to put chains on me?
You know, one of these days I'm going to be watching TV in whatever city that news station theme music is from. I'll hear it and I'll just start ranting for no reason. So, no change from the normal. It's time once again for Cards Against Insanity, sponsored this week by whatever air conditioner repair company wants to come in and install a new unit in the back room at Hendox because it's bloody humid in here. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC, and it's a long one, so while we're on the subject of air, let's just jump right into it.
Yellow card to the guy on eBay who tried to sell a bag of air from the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight 2 weekends ago. Yep, an unnamed Westland, Michigan resident supposedly collected a Ziploc bag full of air from ringside at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, which, if you'll allow me to stop right there and rewind for just a moment, means he took a sandwich bag to the arena with the intent of capturing air and put it on eBay. Starting bid? But shit, it was 99 cents! Yeah, and then two bids drove the price up to $2,000 before eBay stepped in and took down the most expensive bag of air that isn't a Seattle Kappa. There are so many things I could give the... Hey-oh! There are so many things I could give the yellow card for here, but I'm settling on this one. The seller listed the item as being in brand new condition. Air. From an air-conditioned indoor building. Not new. Do you know how this works? I want eBay to release a statement saying that's the reason they took down the listing. It'll make my month. Yellow cards to New York City FC fans. First to the third rail. You know what this is about. Big game yesterday. Local rivalry. Hudson River Derby. Yes, I'm using that word because it irritates some of you. And because most Americans pronounce it wrong anyway. Third rail get their tickets, travel to their seats in the upper deck, hang a banner over the railing, and it's upside down. At least it was to everyone else. They could lean over the railing and read it just fine. I don't see what the problem is. Also, if you're getting ready to make a joke about how I could read it because I'm from Australia and everything's upside down to me, you're about 24 hours too late. Yellow cards also to the NYCFC fans calling for manager Jason Christ to be fired in the wake of the team's poor start to the season. Because you built a team around a guy with a gimpy leg and three people I confuse for mixed discaroo because they all have the same hair. Also, you're an expansion team who have a squad made up of everyone else's expendables. But yeah, Christ is totally the problem. Stick around, NYC. I'm sure Pablo Mascherini will be out of a job soon, and with his Bill the Butcher cutting mustache, he's ready-made to start directing traffic at the 5 points. Yellow card to the NFL, who just suspended New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady 4 games for his role in Deflategate, where game balls were purposely deflated below the league accepted minimum PSI rating for last year's NFC Championship game against the Indianapolis Colts. Patriots have also been ducked 2 draft picks, which are pointless for a Super Bowl champion anyway, and fined $1 million, which Bob Kraft was disappointed to learn cannot be paid in MLS allocation money. Too soft, not good enough. The Patriots get to keep their Super Bowl title, they get fined chump change, and they get their star player back before Halloween. They cheated, they knew they cheated, they lied about knowing they were cheating, and they benefited from cheating by winning a title. Vacate the Super Bowl win, suspend Brady for the season, ban them from the playoffs this year, make them play in the new Browns jerseys. Any or all would be acceptable, not just a half-assed token non-punishment. Yellow card to Daniele Pedelli. I love saying that name, though. The Torino goalkeeper scored an own goal on Wednesday against Empoli when he took a back pass from a teammate and literally, lazily passed the ball into his own net. And of course, it was the only goal and scored in the game as Empoli won 1-0. Fortunately, being a Wednesday afternoon game late in the season between 2 mid-table teams, nobody was there to see it. And also fortunate that this took place in Italy and not a country known for being very good at subtlety when it comes to match fixing. Oh, wait. Not suggesting that Pedelli and Torino threw the game, although they did lose to Tony Galifo's favorite team today, and Tony's teams never win anything. Color me sospetto. I think that's the word for suspicious, right? Italian? Yes, I'm getting nodded at. Okay, sounds good. Yellow card to Corbin Sims of the Newcastle Knights in the National Rugby League. During the weekend match against the Manly Sea Eagles, Sims had just finished a tackle on Manly forward Willie Mason. And as Mason got up to play the ball, Sims reached out and grabbed Manly Willie by the Manly Willie. Went the crotch grab, not to be confused with the ancient Australian fighting technique known as the squirrel grip. See if you can figure out where that comes from. But this story, which has made the rounds on the internet now, which was just some friendly banter between ex-teammates. Mason, who played 3 seasons with Newcastle, found it hilarious, saying, quote, "I hope he doesn't get disciplined by the NRL because me and Corbin are really good mates and I think it was unlucky because of the timing of it all," end quote. For the record, grabbing the junk of former teammates is actually more widespread than you might think. Several crew players on Saturday tried doing it to Chad Marshall, but they kept grabbing Kai Kamara's pocket for some reason. And finally, sorry to bring you down here, but finally, red cards to the Cleveland Cavaliers and to their myopic, disconnected from any sense of decency or reality fan base. I did not want to end on this lest I spend the rest of the night in a bad mood, but sometimes I feel it's my duty to take on a serious issue in a serious tone. In case you missed it, during last Wednesday's home playoff game against the Chicago Bulls, the Cavs thought it would be appropriate to play a promotional video that depicted a guy throwing his girlfriend across the room after he sees her in a Bulls t-shirt. She's then shown clearly in pain, and in the next shot is holding an ice pack to her head, having changed into a Cavs t-shirt. You've already seen it. If you haven't, it's on YouTube. But have a bookmark handy to a video of frolicking puppies or something immediately after, so you don't completely lose your mind, assuming you're not a terrible person. What infuriates me about this is twofold. You have the team thinking that in light of the current sports and social climate, where cases of domestic violence involving professional and collegiate athletes are coming out of the woodwork seemingly on a weekly basis, that parodying this climate by having a guy slam a woman to the floor because she's wearing the other team's shirt and then making her apologize is going to sell more tickets or be anything other than a PR nightmare. And then you have the Cavs fans crying that, oh, we're all too sensitive now and you can't make a joke about anything anymore. One of them even had the audacity to tell me that the non-controversy that I mentioned last week involving my team, the Houston Rockets, is the same thing. No, it's not. If you think depictions of domestic violence are the same as horse emojis, I can't help you. This is indefensible and you know it is. And since when does team bias affect how we're supposed to view a situation like this? Have we all lost our minds and become so partisan that we accept someone making light of one of the worst epidemics in our society today just because we happen to root for the same team they do? Imagine Columbus Crew SC doing something like this on the scoreboard before Saturday night's game against Seattle. A guy throws his girlfriend into a wall because she's wearing a Sounders jersey. Funny? No. Acceptable? No. And if you're listening to this and smiling because you think that's a great idea, screw you. You are part of the problem. You and your attitude are why acts like this are allowed to continue. Why there are still people in our society who think that using violence, particularly against women, is acceptable and reasonable and not a big deal. And for what? A sports rivalry? 48 or 90 or however many minutes of a fucking game? That means nothing in the grand scheme of things? Before this segment went to air, we at the Massive Report discussed rivalries between fan bases. We discussed what it means to be an adult and to be a decent person. And at the core of that is putting things in perspective by not wishing harm on our fellow human being and not enabling those who do. I look forward to something from the Cavaliers organization that's something more than the knee-jerk cookie-cutter apology that they posted on their website, and I look forward to the Cavaliers fan base and sports fans everywhere learning from this. Is Don't Cross the Line still a thing? Maybe it needs to be again. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as GregElator614, and if you're at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder, once again, use the hashtag MRCards if you got something as a suggestion for something I should be using on next week's show. Until then, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
You know, the one thing Greg was talking about towards the end of that, and literally I had not seen that, but I've already found out something that I think is funnier, is basically having the same exact thing, girl wearing a Bulls shirt, jersey, whatever she was wearing, and then the guy just points, and the next thing you see is the Peanuts theme playing and her sleeping on top of a doghouse, which I think would be much funnier, and also not hitting a woman.
I laugh at that.
Yeah, see, that's
amusing.
That would be pretty
that's amusing. Getting kicked to the couch jokes are funny.
Yeah, they are. They're super funny. Anyway, so the Crew, you're playing Valencia.
Yay.
That was announced. Yeah. It's not a relegated and or possibly going to get relegated EPL team. So that's a point in our book right there, guys. What do you think? What do you think about Crew Valencia? Morgan, start.
It's awesome from a few perspectives. I still really don't care about midsummer friendlies.
But we have to have one of these.
Well, you asked me what I thought, Matt, so Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, everybody hates you, Morgan.
No, it's awesome. You're right. It's complete 180 from where we have been in
from
the past.
Wigan?
Yeah,
from Wigan.
Yeah. Right. It's like, yeah, yay, Wigan. Awesome. No, the front office continues to murder stuff like this. You know, 20 years without a stadium sponsor, and it's like, yeah, we sold the stadium sponsorship, and also the Obet is named too, and Valencia's coming, so.
Greg, your thoughts?
I love it. As you said, this is a huge step up in profile. It's also going to be a much bigger challenge for the team.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any delusions that we're going to start any of our starters?
Well, it's a Wednesday. What Wednesday, right?
It's a Wednesday between a Saturday MLS fixtures
at Orlando, I believe.
At Orlando, is it?
Orlando, and also
that's the weekend after, is it?
At Orlando, and Pryor is at here against the Fire.
Friday.
Yeah. So this is coming up really fast, by the way. I mean,
yeah,
this
it's
is happening
literally happening in like a week and a half.
3 weeks. No, not quite 3 weeks. 2.5 weeks, I guess. Something
yeah,
like
two
that.
And a half weeks. Excuse
yeah.
me.
So
I
hey,
I'm not good with dates.
But no, this is a big deal. And you've got to think that, you know, being a high-profile Spanish team, you got to think that the Mapfre connection had something to do with it. You know, being a Spanish company, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Whatever strings it was required to pull to get these guys here, I look forward to it. I will be there.
I'm happy just because, you know, we've had so many games against EPL teams. And most of them, for the last few years at least, have been kind of lower table EPL teams or kind of meh EPL teams. I like to see us, even if we're playing, if our B squad's playing their B squad, it's still going to bring that up. You know, it's still gonna bring up the competition.
It's weird that it's happening in May. Special match A usually doesn't happen this early.
July. Yeah.
True story. Maybe we get a special match B, Morgan.
Oh my God. We'll have to wait and see, Matt. You go to hell,
Justin.
I think that's great that they're playing in. I was just trying to look this up, like comparing it to New York Red Bulls are playing in, I believe, the. Oh my gosh, my
Dane
mind
Dutch
is completely
Lions. Dane Dutch Lions.
I lost yeah. train of thought. The tournament, the ICC, yeah. International Champions Cup, that usually takes what LA Galaxy, probably one of the New York teams. That is not until I think July.
Yeah.
And so, what that does is it basically maybe congests the schedule to the point where these teams are trying to make room for U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah.
And the Crew aren't going to have that problem now.
Yeah.
This is why this is such a great thing. I mean, forget. Yeah. Okay, there's
we've
the
gotten
aspect
rid of our stupid summer friendly.
Right.
Yeah.
We're getting a better team. We're getting a team that's coming right off their season.
Yeah.
And we're doing it in a way that keeps the schedule from clogging up during a very important tournament for us. I think this is really, really important. I don't see us. The question was, are any of our starters going to play?
No,
I think maybe
God,
a handful,
no, please,
maybe,
God,
maybe
no.
three or four
please,
at the
God.
Most, and then they'll play maybe like 30 minutes.
Yeah, they're going to get. But, we have unlimited substitutes. It's a friendly.
Yeah, they
so
don't
we
have
can
to.
We can put Higuain in for a cup of coffee, and then he just goes away. And
it should be great.
Yeah, and then he plays
cup
yeah.
of mate.
Cup of mate. I'm sorry.
Well,
what do you got, Alex?
I think that it's possible that Mapfre played a role in this, but I think the person that we really have to thank for this is Nico Estevez, who is our director of methodology and was formerly a youth coach at Valencia. Before coming to Columbus, he was
nice.
With Valencia for years and years.
And cousin of Emilio.
Fair enough.
So
I stand corrected.
I'm guessing he played a large role in this. He was tweeting about how excited he is and how it's going to be a very special match for him, so I'm guessing he had something to do with that. But I hope that having Estevez here and having Mapfre as a sponsor will bring more Spanish teams here, because I think it's good to not just have the whoever got relegated from the Premier League this year playing in Cruz Stadium. I would like to see us bring other teams. You know, I know we had Hamburg 1 year and we had a couple other teams, but I would like to see, you know, Bundesliga teams, Serie A teams, La Liga teams. I would like to see teams from South America, you know, get yeah. Santos up here or get a Estudiantes or Boca or somebody.
That Estevez connection, we might, you know, Mighty Ducks, who knows?
Yeah.
It could happen.
We might play the Mighty Ducks at some point.
Quack.
We talked about this last year when he was hired.
Quack.
He was really, like, he's very well
no?
regarded
okay.
there.
Quack.
Like,
yeah.
He's extremely,
yeah.
I mean, I think that when he left, they had, like, I don't know, they had some kind of rally for him or something. I don't know. But it was kind of crazy. Like, the fan base was just very much.
There's not a lot attractive. To do in Spain.
We've had a lot of really good, you know, pickups the last couple of years that have kind of flown under the radar, but Berhalter has really put together like a world-class, you know,
There are world-class clubs, and I know this might come as a shock to some people that are listening to the show right now because Katie Mitchell just walked by me. There are world-class clubs that aren't Arsenal or Man U. Or Man City.
There you go.
I like the fact that we're playing a club that does consistently compete in Europe and that is a good club. We're playing them in their off season as our summer friendly, and I kind of hope this trend continues. That it's not just the Wiggins or the Ashley Gnelzi will get mad at me, but the Newcastles, the kind of
we don't want them. We used to.
Coming. No, yeah, we're better than that at this point. I would like to see us. We are. We're better than Wigan. That is a true story.
We've won a game this calendar year, so we're way better than Newcastle.
It would happen to Newcastle.
Ah, real talk.
Jesus.
I mean, they actually have like a former TFC coach coaching for them right now.
Oh, that's the worst thing ever. That's horrible.
The ultimate insult.
God, really I feel bad for
it's kind of like you got fired from TFC, now you're our coach.
Yeah, you can't cut it at Toronto FC. That's
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't just hung himself.
Yeah,
at this point, it's a little dark.
Yeah,
but
see, Greg, you just
kind of dark.
That kind red card to Greg.
What
red card?
I liked
Greg.
It. Greg.
I'm not wishing it on anyone. This goes back to what we're talking about off the air.
Yeah.
What I was like, I mean, I think you know what Alex was talking about too. It might be good to get Nico Estevez on the podcast.
That would be sweet. I don't know if we can do that, Sam. But
Sam.
You don't think that's going to happen?
I think we'd have more chance of getting Emilio Estevez at this
maybe
point.
Maybe if we have somebody who listens to this podcast, you might be able to pass that on.
Mr. Andy Lochnane, if you're listening, please.
Yeah, or Clark Beacom, or everybody in the freaking front office. Pickles listens
sometime
every
before
week,
the game where you know Valencia's playing.
Yeah, by the way, Pickles, I gave you a free T-shirt last week. Maybe you should hook me up.
Pickles, don't do it.
Maybe Nico Estevez could be on the show.
No. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. Just saying. So we'll talk a bit more Valencia as it comes a bit more close. We got to
no,
we're definitely gonna do that.
No,
yeah. Well,
they're right now. They're fourth on the table in La Liga.
Yeah.
So this is a real legit team.
It is. It's fantastic. No,
are they still in the Europa League as well? I believe they are.
No,
they're not in the Champions League.
No, I don't think they're.
Yes, they are.
I think.
But like the
yes,
the thing that we have to. That I hope happens, and my buzzer just went off saying my Indian food's ready, so I gotta go. Bye.
Justin's literally leaving.
Bye, Justin.
All right. Bye, Justin. We'll see you in a minute when you eat your Indian
Justin
food.
Justin has literally just red carded himself.
By the way, the new Taj. Fantastic Indian food. So let's wrap this up because we're gonna get a break anyway.
All right.
Morgan, why do you hate yourself so much?
I was born a poor black child.
Yeah.
And, that's actually a line from The Jerk.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
Keep your racist tweets to yourself, America.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to come back here in a few minutes. Talk about Crew San Jose. That's coming up in a few minutes. This is the Massive Report. It is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Live at Hendox. And Sam just screwed up my microphone. So it's live at Hendox.
Swore to no compromise till I found my courage.
love the fact that Sam has a fake layer app. That is, that's pretty fantastic.
I have that on my phone, too. It's great.
Yeah.
You just wave that at karaoke. It's
I
awesome.
Love that he played a song about L.A. when we're playing San Jose.
I'm sorry, there are other cities. Dude. There are other cities in California.
It's a great song. It is a great song.
Be safe and warm if they were in L.A. What he means to say is it's going to rain in San Jose this weekend.
I will be there. It's always cloudy and sad in San Jose. You're going?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, God.
I am. Wow.
Can we talk? Oh, to have expendable income like that.
Can we talk about their stadium for a second?
I hear it's got the world's largest freaking bar.
Outdoor bar.
Oh,
wow. The largest indoor one is, I think I want to say it's on Put-in Bay.
Put-in Bay.
Yeah.
Long Bar.
Put-in Bay.
Which is, yeah, which exists for the sole purpose of being able to drink to forget that you live anywhere near Put-in Bay. Trust me, I know.
It's reckless lawlessness.
That stadium is so nice. Their new stadium is beautiful.
Great segue, Alex.
What's it called? San Jose
Avaya Stadium.
Yeah, and no, it's really steep.
It's really steep on three sides, and the other side is empty. I'm assuming so that if at a later point they need to expand capacity, they can like knock that out and put another stand up. But if the crew ever move downtown or something like that, when we have to move on from Mafre Stadium,
we should move to Avaya Stadium.
We should build a stadium
downtown
like
Vegas.
That. Yeah. We should make a stadium like that because it is beautiful. I love it.
There's going to be a few of us there.
Not me.
I am hopeful to win the stands.
Let's talk about that. I want a quick timeout on this. When the did winning the stands become a thing?
It's something that teams that can't win on the pitch bring up to try to make themselves feel like
pitch
not as big a failure, basically.
I'm from England.
It's an MLS 3.01.
You want me to call it
division.
Grass or field or
field? Yes,
field
is the word.
Stadium.
It's an MLS 3.0 thing.
Ballpark
3.01 revision.
Yeah, 3.0.
We've now added fan points
and buddy lists.
Buddy lists. 3.02.
Can they possibly win the stands? We're talking about NYCFC in case because they were claiming that they won the stands. Can you still win the stands if you put your banners upside down in your section?
I think you lose points.
I was talking to Rick about that, and I'm pretty sure if my brother and I hung a banner upside down, we would be made to do laps by the Godfather for days.
I'd make you do laps.
I've been to so many crew away games that were losses, and at not one time did myself or anybody that I was with. I mean, we didn't even think about it, like getting on Twitter or Facebook and being like, but screw you, because stand competition was a clean victory for us.
I cannot count the number of times that after the season opener in Houston, the number of people that you personally, Morgan, went up to in the bars in Houston and just said, yeah, well, we won the stands, so what?
Totally.
Yeah, it happened. Winning the stands, that's a huge thing.
That's actually legitimate because you were sober enough to have remembered doing that, I'm sure.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Well, hey, having bars next to your stadium is a dangerous thing, okay? We don't know anything about it.
Well, that's super dangerous.
That's how Houston wins off the field.
It's real talk.
they just have bars everywhere.
True story.
I do think New York is blue now, though, and blue in the sense that they're suffering from crippling depression after...
Yeah, well,
getting dominated by ten-man.
They blew last night. That's for damn sure.
They are really blue. They got a case of the blues.
All right, so San Jose. Let's talk about this. Morgan, your thoughts on the match?
My thoughts, Matt, on Columbus Cruisers FC versus San Jose Clash. It depends. We've seen two types of defending against a crew. One is the DC method, one is the Sounders method, and if they go the Sounders method, it's going to be nasty. It's going to get nasty. We got to limit our mistakes in front of goal. I mean, that's the only time San Jose can score. It's Chris Wondolowski's put on earth to, you know, tap rebounds in, even though he can't do that in the World Cup. It's going to be fun, Matt. I can't wait, Matt, back to you.
All right, Alex.
I think it's going to be risky because if we go down a goal, Greg won't be there to go to the bathroom and make this a...
Funny story, Alex.
Jesus Christ.
What was that story?
Alex, you're fired.
That's why. Nobody else said it.
I don't know if anybody knows this, but we were in New Orleans tour last year in Philadelphia.
You want to talk about winning the stands? That's how I won the stands.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, Greg,
I'm guaranteed to win the stands every single year. That's it. We're done.
All
that
right.
Topic is
Alex.
Over.
Alex, continue.
I think we're the better side. I think if they play anywhere near the way they played this weekend, I think we'll be fine.
Justin, when you finish crying, or Greg, actually Greg, go before Justin. Because
Greg, what kind
he's
of movements
injured.
Need to be happening this week?
I don't know if you guys caught that.
Caught what?
Just Greg. Thoughts on the match.
Greg, are
Come on. Are
we going to be able to drop two on them?
I have so much to offer, and yet I'm not getting a chance. Anyway.
Yes!
There we go.
Kurt, typically, I'd like to say that, like, after the victory on Saturday, John Zidar hugged me so hard that I think, I'm not joking, I think I cracked a rib.
Yeah.
And so... laughing that hard was partially joy, but also mostly pain. Which is why I'm crying right now.
Kuru typically do not play well on the West Coast, and they're going to have to turn that around. This is one of those games that, I don't know, you look at the schedule before the season starts, and you don't really, like, you'd be happy with a point out of this. But the way that they played against Seattle, why not three?
Yeah. Susie, your thoughts on Crew v. Seattle.
Okay.
Here we go.
Crew v. San Jose.
Whatever. Crew v. San Jose.
Upcoming game?
Yeah.
I don't really have any thoughts.
There we go.
Oh, that's adorable. Justin, your thoughts.
I know that. Love you, Susie. Justin.
I don't know. I mean, I think San Jose is playing pretty much like an average MLS team right now. So we should be able to beat an average MLS team right now.
Lenny Balls.
Is he even playing right now?
Can we get him?
I don't think he is.
Have I said this in the last month?
Yes.
Can we get Steven Lenhart back in Columbus Crew uniform, please?
Just for the old ladies that will come and support him.
Mm. Josh Wolf, if you're listening, please.
Work on it. All right.
I don't think he's playing available for them. They do have a player right now named Innocent.
Yeah, they did.
But look,
I think his season's over.
Morgan will F
he
that
had
up.
An ACL
yeah.
injury.
Yeah. But look, I mean,
lost Innocence.
Tactically and everything.
Nice.
I mean, they have the. You know, they're sort of they're kind of an expansion team that's not an expansion team right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new coach. They have a new stadium. And they have basically employing a new system for some players who may be past their prime. Chris Wondolowski is one of them. But they're also kind of dangerous. I mean, we saw this past week, they're kind of been playing pretty well. I mean, they had a nice draw against Colorado. They won against Houston.
Oh, that wasn't a joke?
No. It was actually a decent draw. And they've also drawn Salt Lake. So, and I think, in general, I mean, they're going to be in the conversation to the end in the West, which is not a small feat.
Yeah.
don't
be making those
again.
Noises all night, Morgan.
Oh, my side
just
is killing me.
Just in case anybody is listening to this and is wondering where all of the high-pitched squealing is coming from.
Okay. Seriously, Morgan,
my mic is.
Are you on Bob's Burgers?
No, I'm just. We're in the bowels of the episode, Greg, and I don't feel the magic.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Justin, last thoughts.
Poop.
Last thoughts.
Poop.
I'm sorry, I'm just really in pain right now.
Last thoughts before we go to score predictions. Justin, you've got them.
Score predictions, I think we win 2-1.
All right. Greg.
I think it's a 2-2 draw.
Sam.
2-0 Crew.
All right, Morgan.
Columbus Cruisers FC, 3. San Jose Clash, 1.
All right. Alex.
2-0 Crew.
Tony Galifo.
4-0 Columbus.
Yeah. All right. Ryan.
1-0 Columbus.
1-0 Columbus. I'm going to say 1-0 Columbus as well. That's what I've got. So, yeah.
It's been a good show, guys.
False.
Appreciate all of you. Well, yeah, no, it's been a show, at least, if nothing else. For Justin Bell, Greg Benson, Alex Stanek, Morgan Hughes, Sam Fahmy, Susie, who just showed up for half a second and then ran away crying. I feel bad for her. My name is Matt Goshert. This has been the Massive Report. What? Now, what are you doing, Sam? Though you thrust a knife at my eyes, I will not flinch.
I won the stands.
Yeah, it just makes me feel so emotional sometimes. Sometimes I just...
Every night in my dreams I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on, I'm the greatest singer in the world. Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you. Go on, you go on. Even when you're near and far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart will go on.
It has been like years since I've heard this.
Oh. It's more, you open the door and you hear in my heart, and my heart will go on.
This is very emotional, man. It just takes you back to like, God, remember right at the end of the movie when he's just standing at the top of the banister, and it's like a flashback, man. You know, you can feel it. You just know Rose, just the whole time after the accident, she longed for him. That's why she changed her name to Dawson. It's just sometimes it's hard to think that the heart will go on. Sometimes it doesn't. Jesus.